You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, which means I'm host of Locked On. I don't know what the heck this baseball team is. That's where we are with the Texas Rangers. It is Wednesday, September 8th, if you're listening to this right as I put it up. Maybe you're listening to it in the morning, but, you know, your Texas Rangers just swept a series against one of the worst teams in baseball, and they've been one of the worst road teams in baseball by far, and they won a two-game series against the Diamondbacks because why not? Why not at this point, you know? The Rangers are 51-88. I think it's still mathematically possible for them to not lose 100 games, if not even likely at this point. I think they're sitting with the fifth pick at this point. And, you know, sure, let's go full Tim Bogard. Let's just go ahead and lean into the full Tim Bogard-ness of it. But before we get into that, this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Down the app and join me next week on Sunday afternoon to get in on the action. The Rangers are on a four-game winning streak. A four-game winning streak in September for a team that was eliminated from playoff contention more than a week ago, or maybe exactly a week ago. I'm not sure what is time. But it's been quite a while, several days since they've been eliminated from contention. And I know teams are never going to openly tank because that's unless you're the Astros or the Cubs who did it a few years ago. But like four games in a row, just chill out, Rangers. Just chill out. There have been some encouraging signs in this. Yes, that has been fun to see encouraging signs. One of those signs has been Nick Solak, who's done fairly well as of late. Jason Martin has looked, you know, quite a bit better in the last few games. I've been really encouraged. Even the last 15 games, he's got 49 at-bats in that span. He's got three home runs hitting .286 on base of .280. So, yeah, he definitely needs to walk a lot more. But slugging .490 in his last nearly 50 at-bats, that is definitely an encouraging sign. It's looking kind of similar as last seven games as well. I'm hitting .280 on base, .280, slugging .440, slugging over .400 for his last 30 games, which, you know, like not a huge ordeal, but like solid. Solid for a guy who's probably going to be maybe a career fourth outfielder, but has some solid defense, has six home runs this year. It's fine. It's fine. It's encouraging. He's had some big moments and, you know, I'm happy for him. I really am. It's nice to see him doing well. Leody Taveras has also been doing well since coming back up. I've really loved what I've seen from him. Really been encouraged. His last seven games, he's hitting .267 on base of .290, slugging .500. Yeah, .500 in his last seven games. That is definitely something that you want to see from him. You know, I was a little worried because when he first got called back up, it was looking a little rough, for sure. But in the month of September, he's hitting .259, doesn't have a walk yet, slugging over .400. He did slug over .400 for the month of August. That was just seven games, and it's six games in September. So I don't know. His defense has always been fantastic. Seeing him hit a triple is fun, watching anybody hit a triple. Then the Rangers getting two triples in the same inning, that is not something that happens quite a bit. So seeing him and Nathaniel Lowe do it in the same game or the same inning even is definitely something that is fun to watch. But this offense really exploded towards the later half of this game. It was looking like they weren't going to win this one. Kohei Arihara allowed a couple of runs. Luke Weaver for the Diamondbacks looked solid, went through five innings, allowed three runs, ended up getting tagged with a loss. But Faria out of the bullpen allowed a couple of runs. Widener out of the bullpen for them allowed three runs. So the Rangers were really able to get to this pen. They weren't able to get to Brett DeGuss, who, yes, is now a member of the Arizona Diamondbacks. DeMarcus Evans really struggled, did not quite have it together, allowed a home run, two runs, three hits, and two-thirds of an inning. But Joe Barlow was there. He was ready. He was ready for the save. His fourth career save as a major reliever, has a major league reliever, has a 1.74 ERA at this point. His ERA plus as of, well, earlier today, not after this game. Where we go. Oh, by the way, speaking of relievers, Nick Snyder is on the 10-day IL. He will be out for a little while. Also, speaking of injuries, Eli White is having surgery on his shoulder. He will be out 6 to 8 months. That is not great news for him. He showed that he can be a pretty confident MLB bench player, and having him miss time that significant is just a disappointment for sure. But we're talking about Joe Barlow and how great he's been. His ERA plus before this game was 2.48. His FIP isn't quite as good because he does walk quite a few. He has only allowed the one home run in 20 and a third innings, has struck out 21, but he's walked 10. So about a batter every other inning. He's been better about that as of late, but still, they don't love that. He's only allowing, though, 4 hits per 9 innings, 0.4 home runs per 9 innings, and is striking out 9.3 per 9 innings. So definitely he has been an encouraging development this year. I think he has pretty much locked down the closer's role, at least for now. We'll see what happens when Jose Leclerc and Johnny Hernandez get back next year. But I'm expecting one of those guys to probably have the closer role at that point. But, you know, both of those guys are solid. Joe Barlow is also solid. And having more good relievers is a good problem to have. This pitching staff has been one of the more encouraging signs from this year. I have really loved what I've seen from them. And, you know, I thought that they'd have more use for some of the older guys for a little while, at least for next year, as in Jordan Lyles and Mike Foltynewicz. I thought those guys would definitely be around next year, but it's not looking like they're going to be, at least not as starters, seeing as Jordan Lyles has moved into a bullpen role already. He can, after Spencer Howard and I guess putting him in the pen really worked, because he threw 7 innings, only allowed 5 base runners, 1 run, didn't allow a single home run. Spencer Howard looked solid, real solid. The Rangers staff limited the Diamondbacks to just 3 hits and 1 run in the entire game on Tuesday. Yes, Tuesday. The Rangers obviously wasn't able to do much either. Jason Martin had a multi-RBI game. DJ Peters was able to get a hit in RBI. Nobody had a multi-hit game, only 6 hits for the Rangers as a whole. Spencer Howard looked pretty solid in his 2 innings of work. Struck out 1, didn't allow a hit, didn't allow a walk, didn't allow a single base runner. But he was about what you thought he would be. Would have liked him to be in the strike zone a little bit more. 23 pitches, only 12 of those were strikes. But the stuff looked pretty solid, especially since it's his first game back after being on the COVID list. Definitely just wanted to see him be healthy, go out there and throw a few innings. Definitely not wanting to overwork him. The fastball velocity in the first inning wasn't super, super great. He did get up to 94.9 miles an hour. That first batter was not quite there. His stuff wasn't quite there, but he kind of found it towards the end. Able to get up to 96 by the end of that first inning on Josh Van Meter. And then when we move on to the second inning, I think the velocity was still there. Just double checking here. Let's see. Yeah, 94 miles an hour, 94.6. Able to get a swinging strikeout on that four-seamer. That was encouraging as well. Hitting 95 miles an hour to the second batter that he faced, and 95 miles an hour to the final batter that he faced. So maintaining that velocity, that is an important thing for him to do in these starts. And the last pitch of the game was 93 miles an hour. And he did throw the first pitch, or his last pitch of the game, I should say, not the last pitch of the game, but his first pitch to the final batter was 94.9 miles an hour. So that was definitely encouraging to see. It's just going to take a while for him. That's fine. The Rangers have time, and I don't think they're going to be competing next year. As encouraged as I've been by the starts from these guys, AJ Alexi, even Glenn Otto, and also Taylor Hearn, and, you know, to a lesser degree, Spencer Howard, just because it's less stuff to see. I don't think that the offense is going to be anywhere close to there next year, unless they go and spend some serious cash on several different position players, because right now they have one above average offensive threat in the lineup, and that's Adolis, and I don't know how close to above average he's going to be next year, but we'll see. I would give him that. He hasn't been super great as of late, but he did just have a pretty nice stretch. We'll see what Nick Solak is looking like. We're going to take a quick break and come back. I'm going to look more at what Nick Solak has done since he's come back, and you know what I think he needs to do for the rest of the season coming up right after this word from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Stat Hero. Do you know 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really that surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts who have more tools and more time. You don't really stand a chance. Introducing Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineup and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name the stakes, winner take all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. Nobody else does that. You're in total control. Stat Hero is DFS the way it was meant to be, one-on-one. You can play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon, sign up for free, and right now you can get 3x back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That is unheard of. Go to stathero.com/lockedonMLB. Locked on. stathero.com/lockedon. This episode is also brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Rangers once a week. Yes, you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You'll have a chance to chat with me. You might even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Rangers podcast through our Green Room conversations. Be sure to join me next week on Sunday afternoon and get in on the action. I'll be hosting a room then, and I know you won't want to miss it. Go download the free Green Room app currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link to your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Bryce Patter to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Rangers. See you there. Green Room, change the way we talk about sports. Now, let's take a look at what Nick Solak has been doing as of late. In his last 15 games, the guy has been on fire. He's got a pair of home runs. That's 56 at-bats. He's also walked 4x, striking out 8x. He's hitting .321, on base of .377, and slugging .464. Now, as of really recently, it hasn't been as great. His last couple of games, he had a hit. He has a 2-game hit streak, had a pair of hits. Both of those were infield hits that he really, really did a good job to hustle out. And also stole a base in the final game against Arizona. That was definitely some encouraging stuff to see there. Also drew a walk in this game. The guy is really feeling it. He is really looking more like himself, a guy who is kind of a little bit, I hate to use the word scrap. It's so basic, but like he just kind of is that kind of scrappy little guy. Got a little bit of Ian Kinsler in him. Not a whole lot, but just a little bit. Not just because he's a white second baseman who played for the Texas Rangers. That's not the only comparison there. But both of those guys are right-handed guys who were pretty pull heavy, did really well against fastballs, and had quite a bit of pop, and were a little more aggressive than you thought they'd be on the base pass. Ian Kinsler a little bit more so than Nick Solak, but and I think he had a little bit more power. And obviously Ian Kinsler is a fantastic defender, but I think Nick Solak's got a little bit of that in him. And that is meant to be a very, very high compliment, because I think the world of Ian Kinsler, who should be a Rangers Hall of Famer in like very soon, It probably should have already happened, but it definitely should be happening. I don't know, maybe next year, maybe the year after. That is a guy who meant a lot to this organization. And if Nick Solak can have a career anywhere close to what Ian Kinsler had, then that is fantastic for the Rangers. They really need somebody, some of these young position players, to have these breakouts like these starting pitchers have been having. They've done a better job of developing pitchers as of late, which is kind of funny because they did such a bad job of developing pitchers for such a long time. And now it feels like they have a whole core of solid starting pitchers that I feel really good about. It's not something that I was really expecting at all this year. I thought, all right, the reason that I thought they're going to be really terrible next year as well, because not only I didn't feel great about the offense, no matter if you'd have to bring in like three or four pretty solid sized bats to have that much of an impact. Maybe Josh Young will be up next year. I'm not super sure that he'll be up. It's definitely, especially not to start the season. I don't think that makes sense unless he just absolutely blows everybody out of the water. But man, they needed one of Solak or Nathaniel Lowe or IKF or you know, Jonah Heim to just kind of make a big leap. And none of them really did this year. I mean, Nick Solak is looking the most like it as of late. Nathaniel Lowe at least managed to stay up and not get sent down. I'm not sure how many options he has. So maybe that wasn't as much of, you know, a real thing for him, but he's still looked much better as of his last 15 games. I have been encouraged. I still would like to see more long balls, but you know, I will live with it. In his last 15 games, that's 56 plate appearances. The dude has 2 home runs, 4 walks to 10 strikeouts, hitting 357 on base of 393. Love that. And is slugging 589. Yeah, that is definitely some encouraging stuff. A 3-hit game for him in the final game of the series against Arizona. That included a triple. Yeah, definitely a big game for him. He was hitting 5th in the order, dropped a little bit. He also had a double off of Widener. He had his triple off of the starter, Luke Weaver. That was his 3rd triple of the year, which, you know, it was funny. I don't remember him hitting any triples before today. I just don't. The team did well to get hits while runners were in scoring position. They went 4-for-9 in that. Also, Yoel Pozo had his 2nd career MLB double, which was just like just inches from being a 3-run shot, but it's all right. The Rangers ended up winning, so that didn't really matter to him. But you know, it's encouraging to see this team kind of rallying. You can kind of see them starting to figure out the pieces. Isaiah Conner-Falefa getting a walk today. That's nice. Every time he gets a walk, I get extremely happy because that man needs to start walking a whole bunch more. And every walk that he does helps solidify him as a legitimate starter on a contending team. He is going to be the starter next year. But after that, I don't know. I mean, even if they bring in one of those big money shortstops, like, I don't think that they're, if I think that Isaiah Conner-Falefa is going to be a starter next year, unless Josh Young proves it out of camp and they feel much better about Nick Solak, given what he's been showing since he's been called back up. But I just don't see IKF being pushed off a shortstop for one of those other guys because his defense is better than all of those big money guys out there. Javi Baez, Carlos Correa, even Corey Seager, I feel better about IKF's defense than those guys. Now, granted, I feel much better about those other guys as players, but you know, I'm not so confident about dishing out a whole bunch of money to Javi Baez, who has been looking like he's a little bit on the downswing for the last couple of years. He is still a fantastic, fun player to watch. He does strike out a just metric crap ton, but you know, that's fine. We've had other players who have been good baseball players, baseball players for the Rangers even, that has struck out a metric crap ton. But you know, I don't think that they're going to be going after him. I think Carlos Correa is their target. I don't feel super great about that. They might try money with Corey Seager. I'd feel maybe better about that. But I mean, Seager's got his own history with injuries. The Dodgers getting Trey Turner means that they're not beholden to him and not forced to dump out a whole bunch of money for him. But Gavin Lux not doing as well for them means that, you know what, there might be a lot more of a need for Corey Seager than they're posturing for it to be. But I'm going to take a quick break and come back. I'm just going to look a little bit more at what these relievers have done and which relievers I think will get prominent roles next year, right after this. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? Of course you do. You've been listening to this podcast for a while, or if you haven't, welcome to this podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about baseball and also how great Built Bar is. You know, there's something for absolutely everybody. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves. If you don't know the flavors, well, you're missing out. There's Cherry Barcia, Raspberry, Mint Brownie, Double Chocolate, Salted Caramel, Strawberry, Cookies and Cream, German Chocolate, Orange, Strawberry. There's just everything. It's so good. They're fantastic. They are delicious. You know, if you haven't tried it, you could try any of the flavors, or all the flavors, I should say. You can get a mixed box. You'll get 2 of each of the 9 different flavors. Not only are Built Bars
the best tasting. They're also healthy as well. There's 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, and only 4 to 5 grams of sugar and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. All the flavors are amazing, all tasty, all healthy. Order today and you can get the grasshopper cookie or raspberry, or, you know, whichever one you like. And by the way, Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Isn't that pretty cool? So, our listeners, go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.